And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Y'all, I'm just saying, like making common sense a superpower. So here's the thing. Number one, the triple dipper, wars and rumors of wars. There's a lot of tension right now on the geopolitical stage related to what is happening in the Middle East. I mean, there's a lot of backstories, all right? So keep in mind, under the Trump administration, we had just gotten going on what we call the Abraham Accords, all right? The Abraham Accords were major peace agreements that were bringing together nations that had constantly not been aligned. We were seeing amazing opportunities for trade agreements and the recognition of authorities and the recognition of borders and the recognition of state capital, I mean, our national capitals. And, you know, and Trump had moved the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, which, by the way, sent a very loud signal. Because why wasn't it there before? Well, because, you know, Tel Aviv, I mean, that way you're not making waves. Because, you know, Jerusalem is it's divided among who's allowed to say they have control over parts of Jerusalem. Well, guess what? The U.S. Embassy decided to move, Trump decided to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, which in doing so basically sent a signal to the world, yeah, we're going to do business with Israel nation to nation from our embassy in Jerusalem. And so as we look at what's been happening in the world right now, keep in mind that we were on the brink of seeing, I don't want to say peace breakout, but we were on the brink of seeing the forging of new alliances and relationships that had never been there before. Iran can't stand that idea. Iran, listen, that rocks their world. Why? Well, then you get into other things. First of all, Iran is the largest exporter of terrorism in the world. They support it like wholesale. They are the underwriters of Hamas, which, of course, Hamas controls. If you're looking at a picture of Israel, down to the lower left or western edge is the Gaza Strip, which is, you know, along the Mediterranean Sea. Millions of people crammed into an area one-third the size of Huntsville. And you've got literally that whole section ruled by Hamas. The Palestinian Authority kind of has the broader, more recognized authority, and they also have what's called the West Bank, which is split by Israel from Gaza. And then you have northern border, you have Lebanon. Lebanon has Hezbollah. Hezbollah is another Iranian-based or Iranian-backed faction that is like a nation within a nation. I mean, imagine, if you will, like, I can't think, what's an example? Let's just pick one. Let's say that Black Lives Matter decided to take over Detroit. That's already happened, right? But they tried to take over Detroit, and they set up their own shadow government. And the true government of Detroit was only allowed to operate if it got sort of background approval from BLM. That's the way Hezbollah operates in southern Lebanon. They own territory. They fly their own flag. They could care less what the true government of Lebanon has to say. The true government of Lebanon is scared to death of Hezbollah. Hezbollah is probably as well equipped as the true government is. And so there's this kind of constant detente, and then there's the blurring of the lines, and then there's probably those people who are on the payroll, just to be honest, in the government. And so Hezbollah is backed by Iran. Iran cannot stand the idea of peace. Well, here's part of the other reason. Number one, it's not in their best interests. Iran wants to be the power broker in the Middle East. Iran is also of Persian descent. They don't consider themselves Arabs. And then next, Iran is also sort of the headquarters, if you will, of Shia Islam. And Shia Islam is typically more radical. I take that back. Let me say that. Because there are Wahhabist Sunni Islam terrorists, obviously, Osama bin Laden. So let me just say this. Shia Islam does not jibe well with Sunni Islam. and the Iranians are constantly at odds with everyone else. And then the Iranians are also rushing for their own nuclear weapon. And Saudi Arabia can't let that happen. And then, you know, Jordan can't let that happen. And then, oh, by the way, Israel can't let that happen. So the wars and the rumors of wars have been mounting. And at the same time, you got the United States. Well, where are we? Well, the world knows we just put our embassy in Jerusalem. The world knows that we were the first to recognize Israel. The world knows that Israel's our actual ally. And then on top of all of this, you've got the fact that we had U.S. citizens that were killed in the attacks of October 7th a few weeks ago. There are U.S. citizens being held hostage by Hamas in the Gaza Strip right now. And so as a show of force to try and keep Iran tamped down, because the real concern is that Iran is going to give Hezbollah to the north of Israel the hand signal. And they've got thousands and thousands and thousands of missiles. And give them the hand signal to go ahead and get started and create an entire new front. And at that point, all of a sudden, Israel, which is, you know, got hundreds of thousands of soldiers, called up all their reserves, and they are marching into Gaza right now, could suddenly find itself having to defend its northern border against Hezbollah. And so we are trying to keep Iran tamped down, making sure that Iran knows that if we see death to U.S. troops in the Middle East, if we see, oh, by the way, a second front open up, that you may very well, Iran, get smacked around by a U.S. military, which is showing up big in the Middle East, like the biggest show of force we've had there in quite some time. So that being said, one of the most recent developments occurred just this morning. Fox News has a story, and by the way, this is not making a ton of headlines. I look at this and go, wow, that just happened. But keep in mind that we always call the nuclear triad. The nuclear triad, if you're not familiar, that's where our nuclear weapons are housed in three places, typically delivery options for three means of delivery for nuclear weapons for the United States. Land-based ballistic missiles, those are our silos. Nuclear bombs that are carried aboard strategic bombers in flight. And then nuclear submarines, which are capable of launching missiles from underwater. Well, people can often tell where our silos are. They know roughly. At the same time, strategic bombers, well, they know where they're at least headquartered. But people don't often know where our nuclear submarines are. And just this morning, the U.S. military deployed a nuclear-powered submarine to the Middle East in a show of deterrence against further escalation, story on Fox News. The vessel comes as the Israel-Hamas war nears the one-month mark. U.S. Central Command provided no additional details in a statement that it issued on Sunday, although it did post an image that appeared to show an Ohio-class submarine in the Suez Canal with the Suez Canal Bridge in the distance. What that's basically saying is, yeah, we don't usually tell you where we are, but we're showing you right now. We're not afraid to sail a nuclear sub right into the Suez Canal. We have nuclear capability in the region right now. Y'all, that's big doings. More on this when we get back. I'm talking about wars and rumors of wars. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Are you right side ruffian?
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. We got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of it. Yeah, and like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Boomer, if we don't figure out why these vents are blowing dandruff all over my desk.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't want to just be mad, but man.
You are mad.
I'm just getting mad.
You're just getting mad.
I'm getting mad. I'm going back here. I'm on number one of the Triple Dipper, Wars and Rumors of Wars, talking about the flashpoint that is the Middle East right now. And y'all, I don't underestimate it, all right? Don't underestimate it. So if we just made sure that Iran could see that we were fine with putting a nuclear submarine and announcing it with photographic evidence in the Suez Canal, the whole world's going, "Oh, that just happened." And yes, it did. I will tell you too that separately, Central Command, you know, we have these combatant commands. We have NORTHCOM, we have CENTCOM, we have, you know, SOUTHCOM. CENTCOM, Central Command, is the one that has the Middle East. CENTCOM just shared an image of a nuclear-capable B-1 bomber also operating in the Middle East. And the U.S. has deployed or redirected more than 17,350 military personnel to the region. That does include, by the way, those in the carrier strike groups. I mean, I think you can have upwards of 5,000 or more people on a carrier. But we have troops deployed. We have an amphibious ready group. And we got U.S. military personnel and coalition forces in the region who have been attacked dozens of times just in the last few weeks. 28 times, by the way. We've had drone or rocket attacks on U.S. installations in and around the Middle East, mostly Iraq and Syria, like 28 times since October 17th. Flashpoints are everywhere. Iran is probing through its proxies, trying to see if they can provoke something. At the same time, we're trying to put Iran on notice. Well, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken did say last week, he said, "We are ready to get involved if an Israel-Hamas war line if a line is crossed." And he says, "We won't hesitate." I'll be honest with you. I don't have any confidence in the Biden administration. None whatsoever. None. And so I say that knowing, though, that they're in charge. They are. Can't do a thing about it. That's the way of the world right now. The Biden administration is in charge. Well, Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin spoke a week ago Sunday, saying that they do expect that Iranian proxies will continue trying to escalate the Israel-Hamas war, and asserted that the Biden administration is prepared to respond accordingly if American civilians or armed forces become targets. Well, we're already targets. We've got hostages in Gaza. We've got U.S. forces being attacked by drones and rockets. Anyway, Austin says, "What we're seeing is a prospect of a significant escalation of attacks on our troops and our people throughout the region. We're going to do what's necessary to make sure our troops are in the position and they were protected and that we have the ability to respond. We won't hesitate to take appropriate actions." It's strong talk, but what does it mean? Well, what we're hearing, though, constantly, and what the president himself seemed to say on his way out of church at his beach house, near his beach house in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, again this past weekend, is that he's good with a pause. You know, Israel is going into Gaza, and then the world starts going, "Man, yeah, hey, we're calling for a pause. We're calling for a pause. We need a pause." Really? Where was the pause on October 7th? Where was the pause when women were being raped and children were being beheaded? Where was the pause? Oh, now it's a pause. Well, I saw a piece. This is an opinion piece. It's not a news piece. It's an opinion piece. Remember Alan West? Alan West, former congressman, had been an Army officer, was known for being very hawkish, very conservative, became kind of that guy for the Tea Party for a while. He wrote a piece that came out in Town Hall. It came out this morning. The headline is "The Idiocy of the Theory of Proportionate Response." All this talk about ceasefire and pause. Listen, pause to reload and then keep firing. That's the way you win. Proportionate response, what does that mean? He makes the point in his piece here, and I thought it was a well-done analogy, although war and sports are different things. He says, if your team is up by one in a baseball game, and he uses the Texas Rangers. Texas Rangers were up 1-0 going into the last inning. And then they won with 4 runs, again, added on in the last inning. Was that disproportionate? Should they not have done that? They would have won with 1-0. Why do that? Why did you score 4 more? Because that's what you do. You lock in the win, right? You go in with disproportionate force. You make you any anyway. He points out here. He says engaging your enemy with your enemy is not about having a fair, proportionate contest. It's about crushing them and their will. That's where we and Israel knows that, and so does the rest of the world. By the way, the only reason they're asking for a pause is to give Hamas an opportunity. No, it's for humanitarian relief. Well, I got news. At some point, there's only so much warning the Israelis can give to the civilians who Hamas is making stay in place, using them as human shields. All right, then there's other flashpoints. I don't know if you saw the protests this past weekend on the White House, you know, grounds. In Lafayette Square, directly across the street where the Marquis de Lafayette, who, you know, supported us in the Revolutionary War, his statue was defaced with graffiti and had Palestinian flags hung on it. And you had Palestinian sympathizers who were rattling the gates of the White House grounds and using red paint to deface the gateposts. Y'all, it was maddening. Now, I'm pretty sure if those had been a bunch of MAGA hat-wearing Republicans, that the Secret Service would have had more to say, right? Insurrection! But it's not an insurrection when it's Palestinian sympathizers. But that all happened over the weekend. Meanwhile, you got this story came out on the Daily Wire. Daily Wire. Top U.S. senators warn that military will strike Iran under two conditions. Okay. I don't know that the senators can say, because senators don't have a right to just declare what will happen militarily. Keep that in mind. The fact that Lindsey Graham and Richard Blumenthal might have said something does not make it foreign policy, all right? Foreign policy can only be set by the executive branch. Top U.S. senators said over the weekend they are introducing a bipartisan resolution calling for military strikes against Iran if its terror proxies in the Middle East kill any U.S. soldiers or if Hezbollah opens up a second front. What they're basically saying here is they want to pass a resolution asking for the White House to do a first strike on Iran proper, like the Iranian nation, if a second front opens up with Hezbollah or if U.S. soldiers or American interests are killed. That's not their role. They can advise and they can provide, you know, some measure of support, and they can fund the war effort, and then they can help, you know, with a declaration of war should it come to that. But it is not their role to pass a resolution saying what we will do. But nonetheless, that's the flashpoint we're at, where you've got hawkish senators calling for a first strike. You've got Biden in charge, tricked into saying that we should have a pause. White House has to crawfish back on it. And then you've got our nuclear capabilities on full display, the Suez Canal, and you've got U.S. troops under fire, and you've got Israel marching into Gaza, and it's a flashpoint. Know this. 2 days ago, Daily Wire also. Did you hear this? No, you didn't, because there's too many stories out there to make all the news. Too many stories. One of them, U.S. citizens told to leave Lebanon. Okay, again, picture Israel, just a long, narrow country. Northern end of it, the northern border, is Lebanon, partly Lebanon. And Lebanon is where Hezbollah lives. And the State Department issued a travel advisory this past weekend urging Americans to leave Lebanon amid the ongoing Israel-Hamas war. Why? Because there's great concern that Hezbollah may ramp up and create a second front. The warning comes, it said, amid threats from Hezbollah leader Hezron Nasrallah to escalate military actions. Israel has been sending targeted strikes against Hezbollah in Lebanon, as Hezbollah has also fired rockets at Israeli troops. The State Department has recommended U.S. citizens in Lebanon leave now. The U.S. Embassy in Lebanon also echoed the State Department's advisory, telling Americans, leave the country, and if you don't leave now, have plans to leave that don't have to rely on the U.S. government to make them happen. That's basically like saying, if it gets that bad, we can't help you. What's your plan? Last couple things here, and is this the last couple things? I don't know that it is. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, the White House did say, storyline on Red State came out 2 days ago. Actually came out yesterday. White House says more than 300 Americans have escaped Gaza in the last several days. So we have Americans, most of whom are dual citizens. They are either Palestinian Americans or they are Americans who were there for whatever reason, visiting family or on business or as aid workers. Either way, there are Americans in Gaza. We're not talking about the hostages. We're talking about hundreds, perhaps thousands of Americans who were in Gaza for, you know, whatever reason that can't get out now. About 300 of them have been able to get out just in the last few days. The White House Principal Deputy National Security Advisor John Finer went on Face the Nation Sunday, said the U.S. has been able to help get out more than 300 Americans, permanent residents, and family members from Gaza after pretty intensive negotiations. Here's the thing. The negotiations are having to be made with Hamas. There's only one reason why Hamas would slow this down. Hamas should be saying, yeah, get them out of here, get them out of here. No, Hamas, they can't do that. Why? It gives them leverage. And then lastly, here's the piece I'll end on with this. When you hear the arguments that Israel should pause or even consider a ceasefire or that Israel is somehow at fault or that Israel is the genocidal issue here, how about this? Ghazi Hamad, who's that? He's a thug. He's a member of Hamas's political bureau. You know, they're political. That's the political side. That's the political side. He's their former deputy foreign minister, Ghazi Hamad. Here's his quote just in the last few days. We must teach Israel a lesson, and we will do this again and again. The Al-Aqsa flood is just the first time. That's what they call the October 7th. It's just the first time, and there will be a second, a third, a fourth, because we have the determination, the resolve, and the capabilities to fight. He said, Israel is a country that has no place on our land. He calls it their land. We must remove that country because it constitutes a security, military, and political catastrophe to the Arab and Islamic nation and must be finished. We are not ashamed to say this with full force. We are called a nation of martyrs, and we are proud to sacrifice martyrs. Well, I say you first, bud. You want to be a martyr, you go right ahead. But no, he's going to keep sending young men and women into the fray while he sits back there and probably collects millions out of the aid dollars that are being sent in. Well, it points out here, Hamas attacked Israel on the Sabbath, on one of their most holy days in the Jewish calendar. They massacred civilians in their homes and youths at a music festival. They gang-raped women next to the corpses of their friends. They killed children in front of their parents. They killed parents in front of their children. They beheaded babies. They bragged about killing Jews. They took more than 200 hostages, including women, children, and the elderly. And Ghazi Hamad, his remarks reveal that Hamas does not intend to stop such attacks until it has destroyed Israel entirely. This only proves what Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu pointed out, that the Jewish state must wipe out Hamas to prevent this existential threat. Y'all, it's serious business. We're going to a break right now, but it is serious, serious business. Whew, I'm just telling you, it's a flashpoint. Keep your eyes on the horizon, folks. Keep your eyes on everything out there right now, because every bit of it has the ability to stoke a fire, and we don't want to see that happen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.